Even in the Old Testament, God had wonderful plans for His people. When He led them out of Egypt, His great longing was to lead them to the land of Canaan. And even for us in the New Testament, after we are saved, it's not enough that our sins are forgiven, that we are justified, that our names are written in the book of life. It is good for us, brothers and sisters, to know God's got a wonderful plan for us after that we are saved. But not many are aware of the plan God has for us. And after we turn from sin and receive Jesus as our Savior, the Lord wants to really control our mind and work through our mind. And as I've observed the lives of many brothers and sisters and wondered why they're not growing in the Lord after that they're saved. I've seen many who've been baptized here. Some grow, some don't grow, some backslide. And I found out the reason for that is they've not given themselves, especially their mind, to the Lord after that they're saved. And that's what makes all the difference. See, for example, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 it says, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So we see we have a choice after we are saved to set a mind on the Spirit or to set a mind on the flesh. And the mind, it says, set on the Spirit is life and peace, verse 6. Mark of a man who is led by the Spirit. There's a life of God in him and he's at rest in God. And it says here, verse 7, the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it is not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, brothers and sisters, we have a clear choice daily. Either to set our mind on the flesh or to set our mind on the Spirit. And that's what determines all our growth and progress. Those whose mind is set on the flesh, the life of God in them grows. There is peace. They are subject to the law of God. They learn to please God more and more. I hope you rejoice in that. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us little by little, daily. And it says here, verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now you know why people backslide. It's all because they live after the flesh. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you live. So now you know why, how the Holy Spirit is mightily interested in us setting our mind on the Spirit. You know, many people think to be baptized in the Holy Spirit means excitement. I heard one person say that he hit the roof, you know, how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's all deception. I believe the mark of a man who's filled with the Holy Spirit is, he will not walk out of the flesh. He'll learn to put to death the deeds of the body. And there'll be more peace and rest. And he'll be pleasing to God. And there'll be maturity. And that's how we are conformed to the image of Jesus. In other words, all the transformation that's going to happen in our mind, not externally. When you say we want to be like Jesus, there won't be any change in our physical body. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Yeah. But all the transformation is going to take place in our mind. You won't be like the devil, living after the flesh. And how wonderful it is to have a church where the majority of the brothers and sisters' mind is set on the Spirit. Now, for example, I see a lot of people sitting here, both first floor and second floor. I don't know how many people's mind is set on the Spirit. Honestly, I don't know. But the Lord knows. That's how He draws the distinction in the church. He is not impressed by our music, by our dress, by our activity. The Lord is very faithful, and the way He assesses the church is to see how many people's minds are set on the Spirit. And I hope this morning that we'll bring joy to God's heart and say, Lord, my mind is not set on the flesh. For example, verse 9 it says here, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I hope all of us can say amen to that. My mind is not set on my flesh. I say, everybody is serious. You should be shouting along with me, yes, my mind is not on the flesh. And that's the church, brothers and sisters. It's not the building. The brothers and sisters who are totally against the flesh and who are totally cooperating with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, change my mind more and more, Lord. I want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's how we grow from glory to glory. For example, Jesus, He set His mind on the Spirit. He was totally against the flesh. And may God help us to be part of the church where we can say, my mind is on the Spirit every day, not just on Sunday morning when we think we are very spiritual. But our spirituality is tested during the week, whether our mind is on the Spirit or on the flesh. And maybe say, Lord, please help me to cooperate with You, that every day my mind will be on the Spirit. Can I hear amen for that? Okay. I'm glad you're awake and following me. Okay, number 2. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says, see, we have to be dead with Christ, we are buried with Christ, and then we are raised up with Christ to heavenly places. In chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things under the earth. In other words, God wants us more and more to be heavenly minded, brothers and sisters. Not always earthly minded. So sad to see, so you talk to some believers, all that they're talking about is only the things of the earth. Then we know that their mind is earthly minded. You know, but the Lord wants to so change us, so transform us, that it says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, you get a heavenly mind, heavenly interests, heavenly values, you get a heavenly spirit. Jesus, you know, He was 30 years old. It says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, heaven was open to Jesus. And Stephen, Acts chapter 7, verse 55, heaven was open. Stephen was less than 30 years old. And Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 1, he was only 30 years old. He says, heaven was open to Ezekiel. Don't tell me, oh brother, I'm only a young person. Yeah, young people also can be heavenly minded. If you want to, you can be either fleshly minded or earthly minded. And Jacob, in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, for him heaven was open. To Paul, heaven was open. And oh my God, help us to so yield ourselves to Him that in a short time God can make you and me heavenly minded, with a heavenly spirit, with heavenly interests. And you know, see all the animals, most of the animals, they're always looking to the ground. And God wants to change us from being like living like animals, always interested in the things of the earth. And look at the eagle. Eagle flies high and so free. And no wonder the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And we should be able to say, I'm not earthly minded. I'm not always looking into the earth. Even though I live on earth, I live with a heavenly mind. What a way to live on earth! Will you let the Lord so change you and transform you? It says here in Philippians chapter 3 about some. Philippians chapter 3 verse 19. Paul says, maybe 18 onwards, for many walk of whom I often told you, now tell you even weeping, that the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is appetite, whose glory is missing, who set their minds on earthly things. I hope It won't be written about you. Your mind is set on earthly things. And we read in Colossians chapter 3 verse 3, it says in the Message Bible, we should have as little desire for this world as a dead man has. Oh, to come to such a place. I know we live on this earth. I know we have many things to do. But to have minimum interest on the earth. Say, Lord, my longings are like we sing one song, anchored up in heaven. Paul said, I'm crucified to the world, and the world crucified to me. And if you are heavenly minded, you can make the church also more and more heavenly minded. And that's how you can contribute to the church, not just by giving some money to the church, not just by coming to the meeting, not just by coming to the picnics. Is your mind more and more heavenly? Oh, may God help that the number of such people, their tribe, may increase. And I believe that's the mark of growth, that more and more we are heavenly minded. It's not easy to find people who are heavenly minded. You just talk to them a little while, you can make out where their mind is set on. And we are trying to gather together people who are heavenly minded. Okay, number 3. Here we read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 33. Matthew chapter 16, we read about Jesus. He says here, verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. You see, Jesus' mind was on God's interest. Jesus knew God had planned a specific path for him, and he was not going to deviate from that. He says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And Peter was his good friend, but Peter's mind was not occupied with God's interest. And Peter took him aside, verse 22, and began to rebuke him. See, Peter had such a relationship. He could take Jesus and say, no, Lord, he said, Jesus, you can't go to the cross. God forbid it, Lord. This will not happen to you. Oh, Jesus was so much in tune with heaven. He told Peter, I know you are a good friend of mine, but I don't agree with you. Your mind is not set on God's interest. Your mind is set on man's interest. And so Jesus had to rebuke Peter, his good friend, because his mind was set on God's interest. Oh, I praise the Lord for the example of Jesus. He was not going to be deviated any time, in any way, or through anyone. What a way to live on this earth, brothers. Can you say, my mind is set on God's interests, God's priorities. And what is God's interest for Jesus? That he had to go the way of the cross, that he had to deny himself daily, and finally bear the sins of the whole world. And of course, Peter understood it later on, but in the beginning, he did not understand. And I want to say this morning, if our mind is not set on God's interest, you will also get a rebuke from the Lord. Will you get an appreciation from the Lord? Or will you get a rebuke from the Lord this morning? The Lord who knows your mind, what will he say to you? Will he say, your mind is set on my interests, my plans, my purposes? Or will he have to say, you are only occupied with what people are thinking? And like it says in one place, to look at things from God's viewpoint. Oh, may the Lord help us to yield us our minds to the Lord, so that our mind is set on God's interest. Jesus could say, I must do the will of God. I must do those things that are pleasing. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And that's how Jesus was set. His mind was set on God's interest. No matter how difficult it is, I got to go the way of the cross. No matter how much I have to face reproach or shame or suffering, I've got to do God's will. May the Lord find some amongst us like that whom God can appreciate. And number 4, I hope our mind is set on the word of God. You know that Psalm very well, Psalm 1, Verse 1, we looked at it many times. Blessed man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Or we can say the last second part. His delight in the law of God, under his law he meditates day and night. I believe the Lord wants to do such a work in us that we can learn to think about God's word as often as possible, especially in our spare time. I know we all have to go to work. I know all of you mothers have to take care of the children, got to cook, wash, do many things. But in our spare time, can you say, I keep meditating on God's word day and night? And the proof will be, you'll be fruitful. You know, Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, how the man who had a good soil, he brought forth 30%, 60%, 100%. When your mind is occupied with God's word, you will be fruitful, brothers and sisters. In these days, to find a young brother who is constantly thinking, how can I fulfill God's word? There's nothing but a miracle. You know what is Jesus' heart? When he was on earth, he says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 54. Can you want to know the mind of Jesus? Matthew chapter 26, verse 54. Even at the end of his life, this was the mind Jesus had. How then will the scriptures be fulfilled? That was the longing of Jesus. Even though they are coming to capture him, he said, I'm not going to defend. I'm not going to ask the Father to send angels. How will the scriptures be fulfilled? What a fantastic mind to have on earth. Lord, fulfill your word in me more and more. Paul said in Romans 7, I delight in the law of God of the inner man. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers and sisters, what are you thinking about constantly in your mind? I don't know what you're thinking. I hope you'll be constantly thinking of God's word. And as we have often looked at in Acts chapter 17, the Holy Spirit gives a testimony about the people in Berea. It says here, now verse 11, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with all readiness of mind, it says. I say, Lord, I want to be like the people in Berea. To receive the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures diligently, and no wonder they became noble-minded. I hope you will get a testimony from the Lord that you're not a lazy person, but you're a noble-minded brethren church. Here we move on to Luke chapter 3. There's a wonderful verse here. Luke chapter 3 says about John the Baptist. See this year, now verse 1, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was the governor, Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Tyrian, Franconteus, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. See, the word of God came to John the Baptist. All the others, they were occupied with their positions. They wanted to be governors and high priests and so on. But the word of God came to John. You know why the word of God came to John? Can you tell me? Because he was constantly thinking about God's word. He was occupied with so many other things. How can I get my promotion? How can I go to this country? How can I make more money? Don't expect the word of God to come to you, brothers and sisters. And then in Luke chapter 24, here we find Jesus talking to the disciples. And it says here, verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Oh, that shows the Lord is mightily interested in our minds, that we can get a revelation of the scriptures. And I hope we'll have a mind that is all constantly occupied with the word of God. I've met many people who say, yeah, I'm a believer, but I can't say they have a living interest in God's word. And I pray, Lord, give me a living interest more and more in your word. And I move on to the next point. We have spoken much about it in Philippians chapter 2. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, You know how we can be transformed, brothers and sisters? The more we become humble and lowly, I believe God is delighted. The Bible says, don't be haughty. And God is greatly interested in changing us from being proud and arrogant to become meek and lowly. And that's all in our mind. See, most people are occupied with all external things. But true humility is in our mind, not in our external action, not acting very humble. It is just in our mind. Says Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. That's the mind he had. Always he had a great longing to serve. And he had a great longing to be obedient to every word of God. And you know, there's one more mind that Jesus had. We don't speak so often about it. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1. This is the mind of Christ. You know, every time we are tempted to sin, says here, chapter 4, therefore since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you are tempted, you have an opportunity either to suffer in the flesh and not yield to the temptation, or to enjoy the temptation and yield to sin. And Jesus had the mind to suffer in the flesh, not just on the cross, but during his temptations. And we, brothers and sisters, if you have that mind, Lord, help me, Lord, to be humble and lowly and be faithful in temptation. We can have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. You say, oh brother, don't say that. Paul could say that boldly. We have the mind of Christ, I believe. As the Lord works in you, we also should be able to say, I'm not the same as I was last year. God's making me more and more humble and lowly, and it's changing me, and it's changing me from the spirit of pride and arrogance, and from the spirit of the Lucifer to the spirit of Christ. Oh, may God give us a living interest to have the mind of Christ, and that is growth. Okay, I want to move on to number 6 in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. This verse can change your life if you seek to fulfill that verse. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, or let your mind dwell on these things. There are so many brothers and sisters so negative minded. Brother, what do you think of CFC? Oh, CFC like this. Can't you say a good word about CFC? Cast husbands and wives. Can you say something good about your partner? Oh, she's always like this, brother. Your mind is always dwelling on the negative. You can't think of one good thing about your partner. I believe the Lord, the mark of a man who is led by the Holy Spirit is positive. Always has a word of appreciation and less and less judgmental and critical. You talk to people, you can easily find out whether they are negative minded or positive minded. And since you, whatever is pure, dwell on this thing. I want to ask you, dear brothers and sisters, is your mind dwelling on pure things? What you read, what you see in TV, internet, will all affect your thoughts. The strength of the church depends not on the number of people who are in the commitment list, but on the pure thoughts, thought life of brothers especially. And if I can say, especially young people. Ask yourself, can you say, the Lord has changed my mind? Once upon a time it was longing to sin. Now God has so cleansed my mind. It's pure. I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Do a miracle in our lives. When your thought life has become pure. I believe it's a great miracle to have brothers in the church who can say, God's done such a fantastic work in me. Not only my thoughts are pure, my dreams are also pure. Say, brother, that's too high a standard. Why not? According to your faith, be unto you. Heavenly God can so change your thought life that in the conscious part of your life is clean, and even your dreams can be pure. And we have heard often, supposing your dreams are impure, you got to challenge yourself, Lord, why my dreams became impure? That means in your conscious life you've been playing the fool with sin. That's why your dreams are also getting affected. And I can challenge you, let the Lord change your thought life, and your dreams also will be changed. You know, it says in Romans 1:28 about a depraved mind, a mind given to sin. They sin and sin and sin and sin, and finally God gives them up. Oh, but the mark of a person who gives his mind to God will be transformed, will become so beautiful inside more and more. And just think, in a short time God can make you not only give you a pure mind, but be so positive minded, never think or never dwell on the negative things or critical things, and always be positive. Don't you want to be such a brother and sister in the church? Try. Give yourself to the Lord and you'll be surprised as to what the Lord will do in your mind. Okay. I want to read this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. It's verse 2 onwards. Sorry. For I'm jealous for you, the godly jealousy, for I betrothed to one husband, so that to Christ I may present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve with craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. He says some people were led astray. I meet believers who know the Lord for many years, but I don't see the fire and the zeal and the anointing and the grace in their life. They're cooled off. I want to ask you this morning, has Satan led you astray? Maybe you say, oh brother, I've done so many things for the church. Wonderful. But have you been led astray to some activity instead of being devoted to the Lord? Can you say, I love Jesus more than anything else. He's number one for me. He's become so precious for me. Like that writer wrote, I'd rather have Jesus than houses and lands of gold. How is it with you this morning? Can you say, from the day I got saved, in my mind I'm devoted to the Lord more and more. I praise the Lord for the good example we've had in our midst. The Corinthians, they were in danger of being led astray. The Ephesus Christians, they lost their first love. I pray that God will raise amongst us brothers and sisters who are devoted to the Lord. And Satan won't be able to lead them astray. That you can say, God has preserved me in my devotion to Him. That's a blessed church. And that's how you can bless the church. And the last one, number 8, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So many people say, oh brother, I don't know God's will. You know, you can know God's will if you give your mind totally to God, to God's word, to God's ways, to God's plans and purposes. You can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe we should be able to say, I let the Lord, let God's word transform me. I let the Holy Spirit change my way of thinking. I believe that's a good way to testify. You know, some people say, you're a holy Joe, because you got a mind for holiness. So what? I don't care if people despise me saying, I'm a holy Joe. Like a Buddha here, God not only makes us holy minded, He makes us lowly minded also. So you say, I'm not only holy Joe, I'm a lowly Joe. God changed me. Yeah, now I got interest for holiness and lowliness. God's made me sober-minded. And God's made me noble-minded, positive-minded, heavenly-minded, spiritually-minded. That is spiritual growth. Can you say that God succeeded in changing my thought patterns? Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. He says we bring every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the mark of a spiritual man. His mind is controlled by God, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. And he thinks more and more from God's viewpoint. I believe we should be able to invite people to say, and say, come and see my thought life. Are you scared? Come and see my dreams. I believe you should be able to say, God's been able to do a good work in me. Oh Lord, you're ashamed. Oh brother, don't mind your own business. It says in Daniel chapter 1, it's a lovely verse, I want to close with this. Daniel chapter 1. I've been blessed by this verse. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. What a wonderful brother Daniel was. He made up his mind not to defile himself. Can you make up your mind this morning? I will not defile myself through internet, through TV, through the books, through my friends, through what I see around in the world, through the papers, through the magazines. I hope you'll bring joy to God's heart and say, Lord, you saved me, and Lord, I let you work in me, change me, transform me, so that my mind will be there'll be a fragrance coming forth from my mind. When the Lord examines your mind, I just want to summarize what I shared this morning. The work that God wants to do is a mind set on the Spirit, a mind set on heavenly things, a mind set on God's interests, a mind set on humility, a mind set on positive things, a mind that's devoted to Jesus, and a transformed mind. Oh, I'm so challenged by these things. I say, Lord, please do that in me. Before I leave this earth, do such a quick work in me. And I want to tell you, that's the land of Canaan, brothers and sisters. Land of Canaan is not something physical for us. Land of Canaan, we can say, a mind that is given over to God, to God's Word, to the Holy Spirit. And there will be life and peace. You can please God. Hallelujah. I want to praise the Lord. I want to learn to please God more and more. Don't tell me it's very difficult to please God. If you live by the Spirit, you can please God. I tell you, that's not so difficult. And that's the message we preach in the church. You can please God. Every thought can be brought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. And your mind can be changed, transformed. Your mind can become pure. And you can become such a positive-minded person that you can only dwell on the good things. Yeah, all the other things you ignore, you overlook. That's the mark of a mature person. That's a transformation from glory to glory. Not an imaginary transformation. Some people, when they talk about transformation, they got no idea about being Christ-like. To me, it's very clear. The more my mind has changed, I know, the more I become Christ-like. Oh, maybe yield ourselves to the Lord. Say, Lord, here's my mind. I will not give it to sin. I will not give it to the devil. I'll give my mind, Lord, to the Word of God more and more, to your interest. To become more and more lowly-minded. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, God will bless you. God's grace will come on you. You'll become useful for God. You'll become a wonderful brother in the church. Oh, may God help us this morning that our minds will be under the control of the Holy Spirit, and your mind can become so glorious so that you can say, God, who began a good work in me, from the day God saved, He's been able to do a fantastic work. And you can bring honor and praise and glory to God. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Lord, we want to praise you, Lord, for the hope of the gospel, that you came to save sinners, and you also came to transform us, Lord, to an unimaginable degree. And we pray this morning that we'll get faith, Lord, and that we'll yield ourselves to you daily, so that your work in us can succeed, Lord, that we can bring joy to your heart, and put Satan to shame, and fulfill your plans and purposes here on earth, Lord. Give us grace, Lord. We want to praise you for what you're doing in our midst, Lord. We pray that you raise up young people, Lord, who are gripped by your plans and purposes. Glorify me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, we thank God for speaking specifically to our hearts. The battle in these days, my brothers and sisters, for our minds. We heard that very clearly. And if we are to be heavenly minded, if we are to live under an open heaven, then we must let God renew us in our minds. You know, Romans 12 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we might prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Many people ask, how do I know the will of God? Romans 12:2 is very clear. I let the Spirit of God renew me in my mind. And it says also in Ephesians 4, you know, that we are renewed in the spirit of our mind, Ephesians 4:23. In the spirit of our mind, then we can become heavenly minded. You know, and I'd like to read this to you from the Message Bible in Ephesians 4. You know, Paul says here, you know, the passage heading is, the old way has to go. That's something I have to decide this morning, what I heard. The old way has to go. And so I insist, we're reading verse 17, you can follow it, the Message Bible. And God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-handed, mindless crowd. Young people, you can take note of that. They refuse for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go into sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you paid careful attention to Him, being well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. That's put so clearly and powerfully, and that's what God wants to do in you and me, my brothers and sisters. The battle is for our minds in these days, as we come to the closing days of time. You know, Paul had that fear for the Corinthians, and I believe we need to have that fear for ourselves, that our minds will be led astray from that simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And so, I have to decide this morning, the old life has to go. It's not, you know, deciding, not determining, you know, I'm going to set my mind on the Spirit. You'll fail. Maybe for a few hours. But then you go back again, setting your mind on the flesh. And I thank God for speaking to my own heart this morning. And to be heavenly minded, to live under an open heaven, I need to let God renew me in the spirit of my mind, like we read just now. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. That's what it means to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. You know, and John was able to hear in Revelation in chapter 4, just like to read that to you before we sing. I want to turn your attention there. We read about those who lived under an open heaven. John lived under an open heaven, and not just on Sunday, but 24/7, because John allowed God to reproduce his character in him. And he says, after these things, you know, what things? When God, when Jesus spoke to John and said, write these letters to the churches, some of them, five of them he censored, two of them he commended. After these things, he says, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. And that's the word that speaks to me this morning. And behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. We began this meeting this morning, the four hallelujahs that resounded in heaven, when the harlot is judged, and the last hallelujah, when the multitude sang, you know, we praise God, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. And it says, John says, immediately I was in the Spirit. Now it can't just happen, hearing a message like this morning, that I'm going to decide I'm going to be in the Spirit. What I said a little while ago, I need to get rid of the old way of life, the old way of thinking, the old mindset, and let God renew you and me in the Spirit of our mind. That's where I start, that's where I determine, and then I can begin living in the Spirit. You read Revelation in chapter 1, you know it says there that John, when he began, before he wrote those letters that were dictated to him, he says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that Sunday, the first day of the week. And it's not just being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and Sunday morning, it's easy to be in the Spirit. I hope so. If you're living in the Spirit all through the week, you can't suddenly make up your mind Sunday morning going to live in the Spirit. For a little while you can get, you know, the songs that we sing and the message we hear. But then we go back to the old way of life. And I want to invite you, my brothers and sisters. I believe that this is what the Spirit is saying to the church. Come up here. Leave that old way of life. Come up here, I'll show you a better way to live. You'll see things from my point of view. And we can immediately, like it says there, John says, immediately, I was in the Spirit. I can live under an open heaven 24/7. That is God's will for every last one of us. Every one of you who has ears to hear this morning, come up here. Leave the old way of life. Yield your mind, yield my mind to the Spirit of God. Let Him renew, let Him transform and change me and reproduce God's character in you and me, so that I can think, I can have the mind of Christ, I can see things from God's point of view. This is not a pie in the sky. This is reality, my brothers and sisters. We are living a very low sort of life, very mediocre, coming to meetings, reading the Bible, having our quiet time, all that is good. But I believe what we heard this morning, God wants us to walk in the Spirit. God wants us to have the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Jesus. And let us hear that call this morning coming to us from heaven. Come up here. Come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. God will show us His glory. And even if we don't understand all that's happening and all that has to happen, that we are changed, that we are renewed. And so let's really make that our cry this morning. Lord, lift me up. Lift me up from this old way of life. Help me to put it aside. Get rid of those rags, my brothers and sisters. Come up here and live and be in the Spirit every day that we have left to live our life on this earth. I hope there's an amen in your heart.